Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, everyone. This is Evangelist August Pizzotto with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. Welcome to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. Soon return of Jesus at the rapture of the church. Well, folks, it is great to be here with you today for another radio broadcast of Today in Bible Prophecy Radio. I want to thank all of you for tuning in every single week as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the next prophetic event on God's calendar that we call the rapture of the church. My guest on the show today is no stranger to any of you, Dr. Todd Baker. He is the founder of SearchTheScriptureOnline.org. He is the pastor, the spiritual leader of Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation. Him and the late Zola Levitt founded that congregation some years back. And so Todd now runs that ministry as well as Search the Scriptures. I receive his newsletters and just a real blessing. And I was just recently with Todd Baker in Israel this past June, and Todd is leaving for Israel again tomorrow, October the 11th. And so I want all of you to please pray for Dr. Baker as he leaves for Israel to preach the gospel to the Jewish people as well as the Arab people. And then, of course, Lord willing, this December, I will be leaving with Todd Baker again to the Holy Land, December 6th through the 23rd, and so we're excited about that. And then next year in April, Todd and I will be leaving for Rome, and we'll be going there to Rome to preach the gospel to the Italian people there at Vatican City. So I'm excited about having Dr. Baker back on the program. And today's show, we want to talk about the mark of the beast. Can someone take the mark of the beast and still get saved? That's what we want to talk about. Can somebody still receive the mark of the beast and get saved? So I hope you invite a friend to tune in or call up somebody right now, have them tune into the show. And Todd and I are going to hit this from a biblical standpoint and see, is it possible for someone to still get saved after taking the mark of the beast? Now, before I get to Dr. Baker in just a few moments, don't forget to visit my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. While you're there, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. Also, tomorrow, I will be preaching at my daughter's church. I'll be speaking at Victory Chapel in Tiverton, Rhode Island at 11 a.m. Sunday morning. So if you live in the Tiverton, Rhode Island area, the Fall River area, or any of those surrounding areas, come on out to Victory Chapel Sunday morning where I will be looking at current world events in light of biblical prophecy. And don't forget, if you are interested in joining Patty and I in the Holy Land, the land of Israel, March 14th through the 24th, that will be an 11-day tour, including Petra in southern Jordan, you can go to the website, todayinbibleprophecy.org, look at the itinerary and all that good stuff there, and if you would like to join us, then we'll tell you exactly what you need to do to join us in Israel next year. So without any further ado, I want to get to my buddy, my good friend, Dr. Todd Baker. Todd, are you there, buddy?
Yes, sir. Praise God, August Rosado. We are headed back to the glorious land, Daniel 11:41, to bring the gospel back and to build on what you and I accomplished by the Spirit and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three souls were saved. We'll be attempting to revisit them, water that seed, and I fully expect more people will come to salvation this trip.
Praise the Lord, brother. I know that you guys are going to be running on that momentum, Todd, that you and I did on the 34th Gospel Outreach. We saw two Jewish people get saved and one Arab lady get saved. We passed out 78 Hebrew Bibles. And Todd, are you going to be taking more Bibles this time, or will it be pretty much the same?
Yeah, we will be taking more, and one place, as you know, in Jerusalem, I don't want to say the name of the place because they want to remain anonymous due to the persecution from the ultra-Orthodox who oppose Jews coming to Yeshua, but they have already requested 20 Bibles, and I got a praise report for you. I don't know if you knew this, but the 25 Bibles that we gave to the same group, and you know who they are, the people in the antiquity shop. This has never happened before. All the 24 Bibles were then given to people who got saved and baptized, brother.
Oh, brother. That is just absolutely awesome. And I'll tell you, I'm sort of that you're going back tomorrow for 2.5 weeks and coming back on the 29th of October. But, man, I am really looking forward to the 36th Gospel Outreach in December.
Amen.
With you. And we're praying for this one right now, the 35th.
Yes.
As if I can get this straight, not only will it be you, but also we understand that Harvey Zion, Robin Hopper, and Eric Ola will also accompany you on this 35th gospel.
No, it'll be Robin and his wife Sue Hopper and Harvey Zion.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Okay.
With me.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that. And so we're going to be praying, brother, from now until you get back on the 29th, that God just opens the many doors for you out there to continue to share the gospel and win people to the Lord. And, of course, doing follow-up on Ohad there in Kiryat Shemona, as well as Isabel there in Iowa.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you're going to tell us when you get back from Israel, because we want to have you back on the show, brother.
Amen.
Well, you know, Brother Todd, I want to tackle a subject, and that's the reason why I asked you to come on the show today. And by the way, folks, before we get to it, as you know, of course, Todd is leaving for Israel. If anyone out there listening to the broadcast, if you want to be a blessing to Dr. Todd Baker and helping him with some type of financial support as he goes out there to Israel to share the gospel, I want to direct you to his website, and that is searchthescripturesonline.org. Searchthescripturesonline.org. While you're there, sign up for his newsletter. They will be a blessing to you. And he also has, I believe, a PayPal account there where you can click on that secure a PayPal button, and you could support him as he goes out there to share the gospel. So, Todd, let you and I hit this topic head on. And, of course, the topic is, can one be saved after taking the mark of the beast? Now, let me just go ahead and say this. There are some really good Bible prophecy teachers out there, Dr. Baker, who are actually teaching this. I've never heard them teach this before. This is just coming out now. And, of course, we're not going to mention names, but they are very popular Bible teachers. One of them I highly respect. But what I want to do first is read out of Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. And it simply says this. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. So it appears to me, Todd, that only unbelievers will take the mark of the beast. The mark will be placed either in the right hand or on the forehead, both visible places. But what is your take on Revelation 13, 16 through 18?
Before I get into that, you had mentioned searchthescripturesonline.org. That's actually BritHadashah.org. Let me spell that. B-R-I-T dash, not the word dash, but the stroke dash, Hadasha, H-A-D-A-S-H-A-H.org. For some reason, the other one is not showing up like it should, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay.
And
well,
we can mention at the end. Those who take the mark of the beast are invariably condemned. There is no hope of salvation for them. And I could name names if you want to that teach this unbiblical doctrine. It is clear in no uncertain terms that these people who take the mark of his name, that is the ultimate act of unswerving devotion to the Antichrist. And in the end, devotion to the Antichrist is devotion to the supernatural personage who is behind him and who will possess him after he recovers from his mortal wound. At that point in time, that'll be the 3.5 years into the 7-year tribulation, and Satan will be kicked out of heaven, and then he will personally possess the Antichrist and reanimate him from the dead. So when these people take the mark, which will come out to 666. They will be committing the ultimate act of worship to Satan, and that will be irreversible. Now, how do we know that? Well, let's go back to Revelation 13:8. It says here, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Who is him? That's the Antichrist, whose names have not been written in the book of the life, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So there is escape clause here. There is no exceptional qualifier that, well, some who do take the mark of the beast, they'll escape damnation, and their names will be written in the book of life. It does not say that. It is speaking in no uncertain terms and saying that those who take the mark of the beast during the tribulation period will exclusively be damned, and they will not be saved. And let's go to Revelation 14. Okay, now I find this very interesting. Starting in verse 6, I believe the Great Commission will be completed at that point. Yes, it started with the church, but it won't end with the rapture of the church. It will be continued on in the tribulation by the tribulation saints, the 144,000. And then it will be completed by an angel flying in the midst of heaven, Revelation 14, 6. And it says here that this angel will have the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Notice here, August, it says every single person under the heavens and all the nations will hear the gospel. So
right.
Those who have the mark of the beast hear the gospel, will they get saved? No, even though they hear it, because we go to verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He, now who is he? What is the referent of he? He being the person who worships the image and takes the mark of the beast. That person shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lord, verse 11 of Revelation 14, and the smoke of their, now who is there? There is all the collective people who have taken the mark of the beast, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Can anything be clearer, folks? They will not only hear the gospel by the angel, they'll hear the everlasting gospel preached, they still will reject it, all those who've taken the mark of the beast. None of them will be saved, and they will all be condemned into the lake of fire where the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. There's absolutely no exceptions here that some who take the mark of the beast, some who worship his image, will be saved. Now, there are some who say, well, you know, there could be some who worship the image and did not take the mark of the beast. You err, not knowing the scriptures. When you worship the image, you do so by the preeminent act of taking the mark of the beast 666. So how anyone can say that there's a possibility or a reality of them being saved flies against the dogmatic affirmation of the scripture here in Revelation 14 that all of them who do so will be condemned. They're not going to be saved. So anybody who teaches that some of them will be saved, quite frankly, are going against the clear teaching of scripture. And
it's a total repudiation.
That's
of Jesus
inarguable.
Christ.
Say that again, brother.
No, it's a total repudiation of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, the Bible is very clear. I mean, no one can buy or sell without taking that mark, that identification system with the beast political and religious system. Now, what is the Greek word for mark, the karagma, Dr. Baker, that could refer to either an image, a stamp, or most likely a tattoo? Since, you know, tattoos are very popular today, I mean, all over the world. I mean, so if it is a tattoo, nobody will have a problem taking the mark of the beast, especially if they can't work. If they can't eat, I mean, they'll have no problem taking such identification.
And it could be a microchip that's inserted subcutaneously under the skin that will glow when they go through the scanning machine to buy or sell it. Either way, it's going to be something that will be noticed on everyone's head or right forearm. So. It's clear that it will be visible to all that those who make their allegiance with the devil and his antichrist have taken the mark of the beast and sealed their doom forever.
Yeah, I mean, the scriptures are very clear on this. I mean, it's the number of the beast. It's the number of man. It's 666, 666. I mean, it is the number of imperfection. It shows man's imperfection. His moral decline, his sinfulness, you know, whereas the number 7 is the number of perfection, which is God's favorite number. But Todd, what I want to do is I want to actually tackle the argument for someone being saved, taking the mark of the beast. The first one I want to go to is in Revelation chapter 16. Now, this is the pouring out of the vial judgments, and we know that God will pour out 21 judgments on the earth, the 7 seal judgments, the 7 trumpet judgments, and here in Revelation 16, the vial judgments. Now, here's one of the arguments. I'm going to share another verse that they use as well, and it says this, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So the argument here, their argument is that Revelation 16:9 says that these men were called upon to repent, and they refused to repent. So if these people took the mark of the beast and they are lost, why is God calling on them to repent? So that's their argument. How would you refute that?
Well, I would refute that by saying God knows them that are his. He does have his elect. Jesus said that few will be saved in the present age. Peter says that if scarcely few will be saved, where will the ungodly appear? So this is God wishes all men to repent. He knows that not all men are going to repent. But it's a matter of his legal justice. He's giving these people the opportunity, knowing full well that they won't repent. So then on the day of judgment, when they stand before him and are condemned for taking the mark of the beast, they cannot say, well, you never gave me an opportunity. He will say back to them, look, I warned you 2,000 plus years in the last prophetic book of my word not to take the mark of the beast, but to repent and turn to me. You did not do that. The opportunity was given. You refused, you took the mark of the beast, and you condemned yourself. So the fact that they did not repent is antecedent to the taking of the mark of the beast. Once they took the mark of the beast, they could not repent. But they could have repented beforehand and not take the mark of the beast just like God warns people not to in the book of Revelation. That's how I would answer that. They're confusing potentiality with reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, they had the potential to repent and not take the mark of the beast, but the reality is they did not repent, and they took the mark of the beast. So my answer to these people, and hopefully that's a clear answer and a good refutable answer at that.
Sure, absolutely. But the thing here is that it doesn't even tell us, Todd, if these people took the mark of the beast or not. It doesn't say that in chapter 16. It doesn't say that at all if they took the mark of the beast or not.
No, that's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't say that, but even if it was referring to them, I think my argument still stands. They were given the opportunity to repent before they. But you're right.
Here's another one.
Say here that these people are the ones that took the mark of the beast. But we do know that those who don't take the mark of the beast are worshippers of Jesus Christ, and they most of them will have to pay with martyrdom in the end.
Here's another one here, Todd. Revelation 16:11 says this. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So the argument is that if they take the mark of the beast and they are told to repent and give him the glory, that means they still have an opportunity to repent and get saved despite taking the mark of the beast. But that, as you said, Todd, that just simply doesn't hold any water.
No, it just confirms. It confirms the fact they will not repent because they've already taken the mark of the beast, or they are not part of the redeemed elect, either or both, you know. So it's not saying that those who take the mark of the beast can repent, because it does, as you cogently pointed out, it doesn't say that these are exclusively referring to those who take the mark of the beast. So when these other people say, well, you can take the mark of the beast and repent because it says it here. They're reading that concept into the Word of God, and what they're doing is eisegeting the text instead of exegeting the text.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to use the phrase, the word eisegete, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're eisegeting the text. They're putting their own ideas. They're putting their own thoughts into the text rather than taking the meaning out of the text. They're eisegeting and putting their own thoughts and their own ideas into the text. But here's another one, Todd, I want to run by you here. And this one's in Revelation 11:13. Now, this is the one I came up with. And you tell me what you think of this here. Revelation 11:13. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake was slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, this seems to be a group here that did not take the mark of the beast, because all of these judgments coming down on the earth terrified them, and the Bible says they gave glory to the God of heaven. I mean, how would you interpret that verse there?
Well, I would say, first of all, focus on the, and I know you have, I'm saying you as far as concerns our audience, a great earthquake fell on the city. Well, what city is that? Jerusalem, because earlier in the chapter, that's where the two witnesses witness and are killed. So the people in Jerusalem, when they saw the great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, they repented and gave glory to God. So who are these people? I believe they are the Jewish remnant, and this speaks of the salvation of the Jews, and this will then be a direct fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy. In Zechariah 12:10, Zechariah 13:1, and so forth, that they will repent, be saved, and then proclaim Jesus as Messiah when he returns, and they look upon him whom they pierced. They put 2 + 2 together. Hey, that was the Nazarene crucified 2,000 years ago. Now he's coming back from heaven, power and great glory, with the heavenly armies of the saints and angels, and they will repent. And notice it's in the city of Jerusalem. So I believe that's the Jewish remnant that will be saved.
Okay. Now, and, of course, you just hit, Todd, Revelation 14, 9 through 11. That seems to indicate that anybody who takes the mark will have sealed their doom in the lake of fire. You know, and so, I mean, nothing can be more clearer than Revelation chapter number 14. But, you know, this one popular prophecy teacher said that, now, you give me your feedback on this. This is what he said,
brother.
That everybody has to take the mark of the beast. Now, I'm sure the Antichrist will make it mandatory for everybody to receive the mark of the beast. But the question is, will everybody receive the mark of the beast? Now, according to this one guy, everybody has to take the mark of the beast. Whether they're saved or lost, they must still take the mark of the beast. But one verse I want to run by you is out of Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 4. Now, this does mention the mark of the beast, but notice how it's worded.
Yeah, I was going to go there next, so you're right on target. Go ahead.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says this, "And I saw thrones, and they had sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image,
Amen.
Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So that verse right there, Todd, of course, we know the context here is the 1,000 years. Satan is bound for 1,000 years.
Yep.
Jesus Christ establishes the millennial kingdom. But in verse 4, it says, they did not take the mark of the beast. And this other individual is saying, everybody has to take the mark of the beast. Whether saved or lost in the tribulation period, everybody has to take the mark of the beast. The only difference is, if those repent, even if they took the mark, they still go to heaven. If those refuse to repent, then they end up going to hell. But that's not what we're reading here, Todd.
That's not what the scripture says. They're adding that they're reading that qualifier into the text. And furthermore, these are the tribulation things. They will pay for their faithfulness to Christ by martyrdom. And so that's who it's talking about. And it clearly says there will be a group of people who will not take the mark of the beast, and they will be the tribulation saints, Jews and Gentiles who refuse to worship Satan in the person of the Antichrist. So, I mean, that cinches it. So anybody who sits there and says, well, you know, you can take the mark of the beast and still go to heaven, they are teaching contrary to Scripture. They're reading something into these passages which say the exact opposite of what they are trying to affirm. It's pretty elementary how they can teach this arcane doctrine in the face of scriptures that clearly say anyone who takes the mark or the name of the beast and worships the image and allows 666 to be implanted on his right hand or forehead will go to hell. How they can teach against that when scripture clearly teaches the opposite, it's really beyond me. And it makes me wonder, what is their motive for teaching that? It's as if they're almost tacitly apologizing for God because He said, you cross this line and you do this, there's no hope for you. You become a reprobate. And that is another thing, brother. These people that teach this, and I can name names. There's a very, very popular pastor and teacher in California who has his own seminary that teaches the same error. And I lost my train of thought here. It's almost as if they're making a tacit apology for God. And that God he's got to be more merciful than this. But the issue here is not mercy. It's the justice of God for doing something that will condemn you without hesitation. You know, the Garden of Eden, you shall not eat of this tree, or you will die. God didn't say, well, if you just take one nibble from it, you won't die. But if you eat the whole thing, you'll die. I mean, what kind of reasoning is that? And I also think they teach this doctrine that we are refuting today because they are ignorant or they overlook the solemn and severe doctrine of reprobation in the Word of God. What is a reprobate? Biblically defined, a reprobate is someone who is beyond the redemptive reach of God because they have inveterately hardened their hearts and will not repent or believe. And we've got several examples of Scripture of a reprobate. We've got Pharaoh. We have got the Assyrian king who invaded Israel in 721, Sennacherib. We've got Judas Iscariot, another reprobate. And we're going to have a whole mass of reprobates in the tribulation period. And the sign of their reprobation will be that they will take this number, 666. So that's why, one of the big reasons why these people teach, oh, no, you can be saved if you take this number, they completely ignore and overlook the clear doctrine of reprobation in the Bible. And there are, and it's an unforgivable sin. There are three unforgivable sins that correlate to reprobation, that cause reprobation. Number one, if you die in your sins and unbelief. Number two, if you see the Lord Jesus performing the miracle and you attribute it to the power of Satan, that's called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which I don't believe can be committed today because Jesus is not on this earth physically performing miracles. And then the third unforgivable sin will be the taking of the mark of the beast.
Yeah, I mean, again, Todd, it's clear cut. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 12 says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they
Amen.
All might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And a parallel to what we just read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, is what I'm going to read here in Revelation 6:9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Doesn't tell us this group here took the mark of the beast. Doesn't say that at all.
Nope.
It's
nope.
They were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because of what we read about in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 4. They refused to worship the beast.
Amen.
They refused to take that mark. That was the reason why they were martyred. I don't find anywhere in the book of Revelation that everybody all over the world will have to take the mark of the beast.
No,
it
it's not
that.
In there.
It doesn't say that.
It teaches the opposite.
It teaches the total opposite. And so, folks, I mean, if you're listening to the program, I have with me Dr. Todd Baker. He is the pastor of the Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation there in Dallas, Texas. He's a good friend of mine. He's been on the show many, many, many times. He is also the theologian consultant for Zola Levitt Ministries. And, of course, you can read Dr. Baker's articles there if you receive the Levitt letter, or better yet, go to his website. Todd, give that website again so people can go there, check you out, and sign up for your newsletter.
Yeah, the website is www.bright-hadash.org, brighadasha.org. And they can go there, and we're still constructing the new website, and it's a work in progress. But they can go there, they can sign up for our free bi-monthly newsletter, and if they want to support our outreaches in Israel, doing Jewish evangelism, that would certainly help. Let me also add, I just remembered two other reprobates in the Word of God will be the Antichrist and the false prophet, too. So
right.
They are also added
yeah,
to the
absolutely.
List of named reprobates in Scripture.
Yeah, of course, the Antichrist in Revelation 13:1, the false prophet in Revelation 13:11. And we know that these boys will be energized by Satan himself.
That's right.
Take control of a future revived Roman Empire. And I believe you'll see the seeds for that being sown right now, possibly with the European Union. And so we'll probably talk about that on a later show. But, Todd, we've got about 10 minutes of the program. I want to shift to something else. And everybody wants to know what the deal is with the Russian military buildup in Syria. Now, some are saying that it could be a precursor to the events foretold in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. I've heard others say, well, no, I don't think it has anything to do with Ezekiel 38:39, but I have an issue with that because you have major players over there right now in Syria.
That's
that
right.
I mentioned in Ezekiel 38:39. For someone to say, well, I don't think it has anything to do with that, you've got to be spiritually blind for crying out loud. Give us a little bit of feedback as to what
true.
The deal is over there.
Yeah, I actually did a little blurb on Facebook, and I sent it to you, and I'll quote here from it, because I can't do better than this. Basically, I say, Iranian troops are now in Syria assisting Russia. They are mentioned as Persia, along with a Russian God leader and a prophecy of Ezekiel 38, concerning the end-time invasion of Israel. Wow, this could be the fulfillment of that ancient prophecy. I'm not saying it is. And then I go on and write, time will tell. Libya and Turkey must eventually join the present alliance. And then I found out later, giving an update later the next day, that Libya, also mentioned as one of the nations in the Ezekiel 38-39 coalition that will eventually invade Israel from the north, has been fighting on the side of the rebel forces in Syria since 2012. And then Togomar, Turkey, also mentioned in this coalition in Ezekiel 38, are letting the Kurds go into Syria and fight the war, and they are pondering if they should enter into this war, and they are also providing weapons to the rebel fighters. So
we definitely see a precursor going on here, folks, or somewhat the seeds being sown for Ezekiel 38-39. I mean, you have Russia. Not only do they have boots on the ground, they have wings in the air. They have boats, warships there in the sea. Now, folks, I disagree with anyone telling me that they don't believe that this is a precursor to Ezekiel 38-39. Because when you look at Ezekiel 38 in verse number 2, he talks about Gog, which is, I believe, is the personality, and Magog, the location, where that personality from. And Dr. Baker, Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, mentions the sons of Japheth, which would be Gomer, Magog, Tubal, Meshech. And the sons of Gomer was Togarmah. Now, geographically, we know that Gomer went and settled north of the Caspian and Black Seas today. That
right.
is where Russia is located. And
right,
brother,
and then remember, the leader is called Rosh of Magog, and Rosh in Hebrew means head or leader, and it is also tied in with the ancient name of Russia, Russia. So, and look for Sudan to somehow, if they get involved, you know, now Kush, or it's called Ethiopia, that also covers the area of Sudan today, one of the most anti-Israel Islamic dictatorship in Africa. So to say that this is not a precursor, at the least, I think is once again showing one's lack of faith or ignorance in this the end time battle prophesied in Ezekiel 38:39.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so we know that, you know, north of the Caspian and Black Sea, where Magog went to go, is where Russia is today. They will be the Rosh, which Dr. Baker said in Hebrew.
That's
that
right.
means the chief, the head. They will be the head leaders of this invasion. And then, of course, Gomer, Togarmah, Meshach, Tubal, those guys settled south of the Caspian and Black Sea. And that's where the Islamic State of Turkey is today.
That's
so we
right.
know that there is Turkey. And Todd, you just mentioned an attack coming from the south. Ethiopia, known as Kush in biblical times, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia, all Arab nations
yep.
that have no diplomatic ties with Israel whatsoever. But what about Put, Todd? Who would be modern-day Put?
Modern-day Put.
I wanted to throw that at you. I believe I know who I think it might be today. Wouldn't that be modern-day Libya?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. It is.
From the west.
Yeah, it is Libya. My Bible says Libya, but I know the King James Version, I believe, says Put. It is Libya, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so we know there's an attack on north, south, east, west. You'll have By the way, Ezekiel 38:5 talks about Persia, and we know in 1936 Persia changed their name to Iran. So who's over there in Syria right now? You have Russia over there in Syria right now. You
That's
have
right.
Iran that has boots over there on the ground
That's
in Syria right now. But Todd, I also just learned that China also has some military.
Yes.
Over
That's
there.
Right.
Major players in Bible prophecy, China.
Amen.
Revelation 9:16, Revelation 16:12. We're talking major, major players in the end time scenario talked about in the book of Revelation. So I'm with you with this, buddy. If, for anyone to say that they don't believe that this has any tie to Ezekiel 38:39 is just willfully ignorant on the subject.
Amen, brother. Amen. I couldn't have said it better.
And so, folks, I mean, we're living in some really, really exciting times to see what is happening over there in Russia right now, with Iran over there, with China over there. Of course, we all know what happened over there in Libya when they killed one of our U.S. ambassadors, and Hillary Rodham Clinton lied about it through her teeth the whole way through, and yet had the audacity to run for the president of the United States today while sweeping all of that under the rug. And then, of course, Ethiopia, Sudan, Somalia. All those Arab nations there have no diplomatic ties with Israel whatsoever. So it seems like the seed is being sown for the events of Ezekiel 38.
Amen, brother.
Todd, with that happening, what does that tell you and I that something is about to take place?
Well, yeah, and keep in mind also, brother, that all these forces that are either directly involved with this conflict in Syria or tangentially involved, this is the first time in the history of the world since Ezekiel gave this prophecy that all these forces are now together, with the exception of Sudan. They have yet to explicitly and conspicuously get involved. But, you know, they could be involved in a secret way funneling weapons there at this point. We don't know.
Right.
But all the other major players named in the multinational alliance that will invade Israel in Ezekiel 38:39 are already up north of Israel right now. First time in history since the prophecy of Ezekiel was given. So for somebody to say, oh, brother, you're just reading current day events into prophecy. Well, current day events are being fulfilled, are fulfilling Bible prophecy. Let's start with 1948, May 14th. So to ignore this, the current situation going on in Syria, and not correlate it as being a precursor or perhaps the beginning of the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39, is to me great short-sighted and inexcusable for those who call themselves experts in Bible prophecy.
Yeah, so-called experts in Bible prophecy. Well, Todd, our time has come to an end. It's amazing how 45 minutes just goes right through there. But one final time, Todd, just give everybody information on how they can get a hold of you and your ministry.
Yes, so you can get a hold of us. You can write to us at Berit Hadashah Ministries. You can just say B as in boy, H as in Henry, and M as in Mary. BHM, P.O. Box 796127, Dallas, Texas 75379. Or you can get a hold of us on our website, www.BRIT-HADASHAH.org. That's Berit Hadasha.org. Berit Hadasha is the Hebrew word for new covenant, reminding us of Jeremiah 31:31. God said he would make a Berit Hadasha, a new covenant with the house of Israel. So please contact us, pray for our evangelistic outreaches in Israel, and please, we need your financial support. And don't forget, August Rosado and I will be going back in the first week of December to Israel.
Well, brother, amen to that. I am looking forward to it. Brother Todd, thank you for being on the show, buddy. We're going to be praying for you as you leave for Israel tomorrow, and we're looking forward to having you come on back and sharing what's going on out there. So have safe traveling mercies, brother.
Amen. And I let your listeners know that I will have the link of this show today on my ministry Facebook page and my personal page. So send it out to me, bro. As soon as you send it out to me, I'll put it on there. And pray for us, and I will I'll be giving you updates from over there, because you, brother, are a vital partner in to the Jew First / Berit Hadashah Ministries.
Amen. I'm just thrilled to be a part of that, brother. You don't know how thrilled we are to be a part of that. Folks, Dr. Todd Baker, and I hope that this program was a blessing to you. So, Brother Todd, we'll be talking to you soon, my man.
Okay, thank you, brother, and to everyone, and to you, August, Shabbat Shalom, and Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you, and pray for our outreach starting tomorrow in Israel, folks. God bless.
God bless, buddy. Shabbat Shalom to you, too. Folks, Dr. Todd Baker, and thank you so much for being with us today. We will see you, Lord willing, next week. Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon.